Good afternoon. You are listening to Lancer Radio, streaming live at www.lancerradio.org. I am Gina Harris, along with David Rodriguez. Welcome to Artist Spotlight, where we put the spotlight on talented artists from all genres of the arts that cross our path. Joining us today is a multi-talented singer, songwriter, and producer whose influences include, but are not limited to, Smokey Robinson, Luther Vandross, Sarah Vaughan, and Joni Mitchell. Mature and sophisticated, giving voice to ballads that bounce with an array of original songs, his music crosses the genres of blues, easy listening, folk rock, pop, R&B, and top 40. Thank you for joining us, Mark Wilson Jordan.
Hi, Gina. Thanks for having me today.
It's a pleasure. I'm so glad you could come. So, let's get this started. Why music?
Why music?
Uh-huh.
I think as a little kid, I was exposed to music because there was always music going on in our house. Nobody played anything, but there were records and radio and the like. I'm far down the birth order, so I had brothers and sisters who were teens, and they were listening to the popular music of the day, and I got exposed to it. Of course, my parents listened to different stuff, which is why I could hear a Smokey Robinson song and love it, and hear something by Sarah Vaughan or Johnny Mathis and love it.
Ah, okay. Well, cool. So tell us who your influences are.
Well, all over the place. Certainly Smokey Robinson, Sarah Vaughan and Johnny Mathis were early influences. And when I was thinking about music, I was thinking about it from the standpoint of the singer. I didn't get around to writing any songs until much, much later. So I listened to top 10 radio. Back then it was top 40 radio. Mm-hmm. I'm a mature performer at this point. But certainly the Beatles and that British Invasion thing with the Rolling Stones and Dave Clark Five and people like that. And then, of course, who hasn't heard James Brown? But
well, see, you didn't mention any of those to us. So, but we do have, what do we have? We have our first little clip we have is a little bit of Smokey Robinson. So we can hear just a little bit of that one.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a hand now, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. My mama told me, you better shop around.
So Shop Around, Smokey Robinson, what significance does that song have for you?
Well, Smokey's a great singer, great energy, and, you know, when you hear that production, you just want to move your shoulders and your feet. And at that time, I could actually sing in that register because it was just like, I hadn't hit puberty yet. I could hit those notes.
Right on. Very cool, and that's very true. So what other artists from around that time, you talked about your parents and the songs that they, the influence of the music that they listened to had on you. Talk about Sarah Vaughan.
Oh, beautiful voice, beautiful phrasing, and she didn't let herself be limited by the notes on the page. Mm-hmm. The rumor about Sarah Vaughan is that every time she sang a song, she sang it differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that would create a bit of a stir today, because everything, you know, has to fit into a mold. Mm-hmm. But she had wonderful range, great breath control, and, you know, there was a song back then, singers primarily did not write their own songs. Mm-hmm. They sang standards. And so I could hear Misty by Sarah Vaughan and then hear Misty by Johnny Mathis, mm-hmm. and another singer who was a favorite of mine. And they took two totally different approaches and they both worked. And so as someone who was thinking about singing, that just amazed me.
I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree, and I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud I can't understand. I get misty just holding your hand.
Now, I almost wish we just had the music so we could just let you sing it. You're over here mouthing the words in here.
Well, I learned that song a long time ago, and, you know, just a wonderful, wonderful performance because she had so much control over her instrument. She could sing really high, she could sing really low, and then just the phrasing. And, you know, if you were to listen to the Johnny Mathis version, the opening, almost totally different. Uh-huh. I mean, they're the same song, but the two singers took different approaches. And I think part of that had to do with their instruments because they sang in different ways.
Right. Well, now, could it also be then whoever, like, arranged the song for them that they were playing or whatever orchestra that they were playing with? Could it be also?
True, because back in those days, the record companies had much, much more control over the repertoire of the artists. They basically present them with songs and say, we want you to do this. And so they basically had to sing the song that the record company sang because that was their employer. Today, more artists are writing their own songs, or when they select songs that they didn't write, their producers are pretty much trying to put them into a mold that is consistent with the style and the sound of that particular singer.
Interesting. That's very interesting because I find today the music, I'm not liking a lot of what I'm hearing. It seems that a lot of artists, they're not original. A lot of the artists that I see, I guess I don't listen to the radio anymore, so that might be one of the things. But that's why, because a lot of the things that I hear, I'm hearing things taken from people back in the day. And when I start hearing it, I get disappointed.
Right. Well, you know, part of popular radio is directed toward people who tend to buy music. And people who tend to buy music tend to be in their teens and their 20s. Mm. And then they sort of get stuck in that area, and then they just move along with the artists as the artists grow up and grow older.
So does that also have a lot to do with the record companies, though, too, in making music and trying to stay with I don't know what you call it, but it like a formula, so they know that this works, so they're going to keep this artist in that same formula and try to produce something, and hopefully it'll work as well.
Possibly. And I think that's, you know, that might be too cynical or simplistic. Each artist really has something that's special about them that people like, and you know, part of the job of the record company is to find things that continue to mine that groove. As artists grow, sometimes they chafe under that and they want to branch out. Mm. So, for instance, when Prince started, he was opening for a band called the Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. And the Stones liked him, but the Stones fans didn't like him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he still went on stage and did his show and developed his craft and his ability to be on stage. He's a fabulous performer and songwriter. And, you know, his career had this amazing trajectory. And then he wanted to do something else, mm-hmm. not so popular with his record company.
Right.
So then he had to go out on his own to continue to grow in the direction that he wanted to go. And some of his fans stayed with him. Some of them fell by the wayside. But, you know, he's still writing. He's still performing. He's incredibly talented and still popular.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that I'm one of the fans that stuck with him. But he was good. I mean, he's one of those fans that, I mean, old and young alike had appreciation for him because he was he played multiple instruments.
Yep, and right. He wrote the songs, he sang them, he played all the instruments.
Exactly.
He was behind the console, he was producing the records.
Exactly. Yeah. But you don't have that many artists that do that anymore.
Are there any, like, recent artists that you're really interested in right now?
Well, it's tough. I'm trying to listen to things to try to be more current. So, for instance, I watched the Grammys and saw a performance by Gautier, mm-hmm. who's very popular, and someone that I used to know, mm-hmm. or someone that you used to know, I forget. Impressive record, but I don't know that I'd want to sit through a 2-hour concert of his. I mean, you know, it's just me. I like the Black Eyed Peas from time to time. I think will.i.am just has found his niche, and so he writes to the groove and to his sensibilities. Mm-hmm. So I'm impressed with that.
I feel like the artists like Smokey Robinson and Sarah Vaughan, all their songs are timeless. Like, they're never going to go away, and they're always going to be remembered with generation to generation.
I think you're right. And I think that, you know, take a song like Shop Around, mm-hmm. and which was a hit in like 1960 or something mm-hmm. like that. And then bring it forward in another 20 years, and The Captain and Tennille mm-hmm. had, I believe it was a number one hit with it. And I probably just haven't heard it, but I'm sure somebody else is going to bring that back mm-hmm. and have another hit with it. Of course, Misty has been recorded by everyone.
Everybody, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it has. Now, I want to jump in a whole different direction. We have a little recording. Actually, you brought it for us. You used to. I want to try this. The name of the a cappella group that you sang with while you were
in college. Okay, yeah. The Harvard Crocodillos.
The Harvard Crocodillos. I'd like to play a little piece of what you brought in. The gosh, can you pronounce that for me, Mon Coeur? I don't want to.
Mon Coeur se recommande à vous.
Okay, French, ooh. I'm assuming.
Yes.
Very beautiful. Now, how long were you in the
Crocodillos?
Crocodillos.
2.5 years.
2.5 years. And what was your experience?
Well, before getting into the Crocodillos, I had never really stood on stage and sung for audiences. I had sung for my family. I'd sung for my friends, you know, in the car, like little parties and things like that. But to actually stand on stage before strangers and sing is a different experience. And that gave me a different level of confidence in my ability.
Okay. We're going to play just a little bit of that right now.
Well, guys, stay tuned. We're going to continue to talk to local artist Mark Wilson Jordan and play one of his songs off the album My Heart Wants here at Lancer Radio, Pasadena Campus Sound, streaming live from the beautiful campus of Pasadena City College at www.lancerradio.org.
The Athletic Zone supports student athletes in their academic, social, and athletic endeavors. We encourage students to become vested members in the academic community and utilize the vast resources at Pasadena City College. Our objectives are to assist students in adjusting to life at the community college level, establishing sound study habits, and developing appropriate academic and career plans. The PCC student athlete values a quality education and the responsibilities required of them to succeed at the next level. The zone is located in GM112A on the first floor of the east side of the Hutto Patterson Gymnasium. Services include academic counseling and advising, tutorial services, transfer services, career planning, speakers workshops, and peer advising. The zone is open from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday. For more information, stop by GM112A or call us at 626-585-3115.
Welcome back. We're talking to local artist Mark Wilson Jordan about his album, My Heart Wants, here at Atlanta Radio. So I wanted to ask you, you were talking about the a cappella group you were in Harvard called the Crocodilos.
Yes.
That was the first singing experience that you had in front of, like, actually singing in front of people?
Yes.
Wow.
And during freshman week, I heard them singing outside the Harvard Yard. And, you know, 12 guys standing in a semicircle, and they sang a jazz standard from the 40s that I can't remember now. But I thought, I want to do that. So I went to the tryouts, and I tried out as a baritone because I thought that felt comfortable for me at the time. But baritone wasn't really my best range. I was better as a second tenor. So I didn't make the group my freshman year. I instead went and did some singing in the Collegium Musicum, which was a much larger group that did more traditional things. I did that for a year, and then as a sophomore, I went back to try out again, this time as a second tenor. And what I think is special about my voice happens in my upper register, and that year I got in, and then still singing with them. The group from the middle 70s has sort of stayed in contact over the years. And in fact, at the end of this coming week, I'm flying back to Boston. And we're all meeting in Hancock, New Hampshire, to do some reminiscing and singing. And on Saturday night, we're going to be singing at the local church, the oldest church in their town, to help raise money for a building project that they're involved in.
Wonderful. Very nice. Very nice. Well, you'll have to take a recording device so that bring it back so that we can hear it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So let's move forward. David actually picked out one of your songs that he really liked.
All right.
Yeah. I think the song was called My
Back to your heart.
I love that song on the album. I absolutely loved it.
Outstanding.
Cool. So why don't we listen to a little bit?
Yeah.
All right. And the weeks
So Mark, what was it like writing the song?
Well, I was attempting to get to an emotional place, or I was at an emotional place, but I wanted to describe that emotional space and what impact it was having on me. But I didn't want it to be negative or like a victim song. I wanted it to talk to the opportunity of sort of patching up a relationship, because if you've ever been in a relationship, you know that it doesn't always work all the time. But if you have a commitment to being in a relationship with that person, then you do the work that's necessary to make the relationship work. And that's what I was trying to get at with the, you know, maybe I don't know what I need to do, so why don't you tell me what I need to do to get back into your good graces.
Well, that's what it sounds like. It's exactly that's happening in that song.
Okay. Nice. So I was successful in that regard. That's good to know.
Yes, you were. So tell me, what is your process, your songwriting process?
I try to be flexible. I don't really know where the songs come from sometime. Because I sing, I'm always singing or noodling around or something, and most of the ideas for melodies come for me when it's quiet and I don't have other things sort of like gnawing at me or banging into my ears. So there have been a number of times that at 4 o'clock in the morning I'll wake up and think, oh, that could be interesting. Now I have to go down the hall and close the door and sing this melody into my phone so that I don't lose it. And then the next day or the day after that, I'll sit down at the piano and figure out where that melody should be in my vocal register, and then try to come up with a lyric that fits with the feel of the melody. You know, sometimes a melody is happy and sometimes it's more contemplative or sad. And there's a thing in songwriting called prosody, in which you want to match the lyric to the music.
Wow, that's interesting, because that now you just kind of blew apart one of my questions, because I wanted to know which comes first, lyric or melody. So it sounds like melody, but it sounds like it's kind of switching back and forth sometimes, maybe.
I think melodies are easier simply because I can do things vocally that, you know, I just start singing and it'll either work or it won't, and I know that almost immediately. Lyrics are a little harder because you want to get to the essence of the thought without having lots of extraneous ums and ahs and that and because, that sort of thing.
Right.
So, and hooks, the chorus is easier to come up with than the verse. Because after you come up with the chorus, you know, the chorus is meant to grab you and sort of shake you up.
Right.
But you can't hear the chorus over and over and over and over without something else to sort of invite you in and take you from zero into this place that you're just like, oh, yeah, I'm totally hooked by that.
Very cool. Well, we'd like to get into another song of yours, and I think this might be one of your faves off the current album, My Heart Wants.
My Heart Wants
yeah.
Is a song that's a favorite of mine because it's going to be my first song that is getting synced into a movie.
Cool.
So there's a student film by a filmmaker, L. Marie Anderson, over at Loyola Marymount. She and I have been talking about this song, and she wants to sync it up to her movie because the sentiment of the song expresses the kernel of her film, of the character.
Wonderful. Well, let's hear some of it. A Heart My Heart Wants.
I think, I wait, I contemplate the life I'd spend with you. To have to hold as time unfolds and no one else will do. My heart wants what my heart wants. Yeah, my heart wants what my heart wants. It's too good to be true. My dream is shared by two. My heart wants what my heart wants. A bolt from the blue, I want you. In dreams, in hope, I barely cope. I ache inside for you. With luck, by fate, am I too late? This longing burns me through. My heart wants what my heart wants.
That's beautiful, Mark.
Thank you.
That's
Thank you.
Beautiful.
I'm glad you like it.
Thank you for sharing that with us. We look forward. Hopefully, we'll get an opportunity to see this film. I'm excited for you.
Well, I will certainly let you know when
you.
It's available.
Thank you. So what other projects are you working on?
Oh, lots of things. Well, of course, contacting film schools to try to get my songs into student films so that they can have more exposure.
Uh-huh.
Working on videos for the various songs. I have a YouTube channel that's One for Mark One. That's mm-hmm. O-N-E, the number 4, M-A-R-K, and then the number 1. I have 2 videos up now and plans on making more videos to increase the exposure for the stuff. I'm working with a young hip-hop artist by the name of Mr. Hooks.
Okay.
He produced a song for me, Keep Pushing Barack. He did a hip-hop version of that for me, and now we're co-writing a song together.
Great. I look forward to that.
Wow, that sounds really cool.
Yeah. So he's younger. He's hipper. He's like dragging me forward. Listen to these guys.
Very good.
And as you noted at the top of the show, I produce an independent public access show mm-hmm. on the local cable access station here in Pasadena. And it's called Indie Encounter,
mm-hmm.
and my next thing with that is to start a YouTube channel for that so that I can put those shows up. We've been doing it for a little over 3 years now.
Wonderful. Well, you got a lot on your plate, Mr. Jordan. I want to thank you so much for coming. It's been
a pleasure.
You're
certainly welcome. I'm thankful that you invited me here to chat about my songs.
Wonderful. All right, folks. Well, that is all the time that we have today. I want to thank Mark Wilson Jordan for joining us today.
Thank you.
If you would like more information about Mark and his music, you can go to www.markwilsonjordan.com. Be sure to join us next week when we'll have the legendary bass player Byron Lee Miller joining us. Thanks for tuning in Artist Spotlight. You're listening to Lancer Radio at www.lancerradio.org.